Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games. And there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to another Tadpog podcast, a twice-weekly show where two old guys talk about old games. I'm your bearded host, Tyler, and so once when I was in college, and I'm not going to name any names.
That's probably good.
Yeah, but I there was a girl that was in my group of friends that a couple of my other friends had dated, and that's saying it nicely.
Dated. They, please expound.
They had sex with her. But I thought, well, you know, she's cute. Why not? I will actually take her out on a couple of dates. And you know, things were going all right for a while. But then we hit kind of a dry spell. And I was going out of town with Jacob of Wolf Fighting fame for SETC, the Southeastern mm-hmm. Theater Conference, because I did theater in college. And before I left, I said to another friend of mine, because I had been getting bad feelings.
Oh, no.
I said to this friend, listen, whatever you do, don't have sex with blank.
Okay.
Don't have sex with her.
That seems pretty explicit.
It's, yeah. And I get a text, a series of texts, while I am in Chattanooga at SETC from another mutual friend.
I can see where this is going.
About the things that had happened while I was away. So obviously this person had sex with her. He had lost his virginity to her. he had not used protection. all of that happened. And it was because, to quote my other friend, I was standing in the way of something beautiful, this thing that was happening. So here, there's basically four people in this story. There's the girl. There is the friend.
We'll call her gutter whore.
There's the friend who had sex with the girl. And then there is another couple who had been, unbeknownst to me, setting up secret dates so that my friend and the girl could like go out behind my back,
so that was while you were going out with her?
Before I had left, before when things were kind of tapering off. But yeah.
Wow.
And it was all because the female in the couple had a dream that the girl that I was dating and my friend should be together. So, and to add insult to injury, he actually had sex with her in my sleeveless Dare shirt. So
Dare. Something about that story makes the Dare just really stand out in my mind. No. The Dare shirt.
Yeah.
Do you still have that Dare shirt?
No. And I also don't have she stole my Detroit Red Wings jersey. She stole it.
Oh.
And I have asked her for it several times and she's never given it to me.
That is bullshit.
And I'm not going to name any names, but I will say that two of the four people mentioned in this are former guest hosts.
Really?
You guys figure it out.
Oh. Okay, well, I am Dave, your bespectacled host, and I once had a dream that I was having sex with Tyler's ex-girlfriend.
That
actually happened, and it was uncomfortable, but I got through it.
We both got through it.
Yeah.
I was there in your dream.
Since we're telling stories about friends of the show and guest hosts, I was going to tell the story of the first time that I ever had a Jaeger bomb. Now, okay. For anybody who doesn't know what a Jaeger bomb is, it's a shot of alcohol and it tastes like shit. It is awful. But for some reason, when I moved back to Paducah, I got a call from a friend of the show and former guest host of Pilot Wings fame, Sean Miller.
Of Populous fame.
Populous fame and very many other
NHL
shows.
NHL 94.
NHL 94, yes.
Interview special fame.
Interview special fame. He's done a lot, hasn't
terrible
he?
Terrible audio fame.
Yeah, terrible audio fame. He brought the bad voodoo on the audio that time. Asshole. But anyway, he called and said, hey, I know you guys are back in town. Why don't you and Nikki come out to this bar in Paducah? A friend of mine is playing music, and I think you'd have a good time. I want to see you. So I was like, yeah, that sounds awesome. I talked to Nikki about it. She was in. So later that night, we met them out there. We go from one bar to another. We're kind of just going from one place to the next, having drinks. And he says, do you want a Jaeger bomb? And I had never had one at that point. And I thought, why not? You know, we're back, we're celebrating. So he bought a Jaeger bomb, and we took it. And I'm not really sure what happened over the next hour, but there were several Jaeger bombs involved. There were a lot of Jaeger bombs consumed. By the end of the night, I was Nikki had not been drinking, so she drove us home. Miller was staying at the Thrifty Inn in Paducah, which... The Thrifty Inn, you know, it's a Hilton resort. So it's, you know, really nice place. We're letting them out, and I basically fall out of the passenger seat of my car and just start just yakking right into the bushes in front of the Thrifty Inn. I mean, this is the Thrifty Inn. There were several people that puked on that bush before I even got there. But you know that it had to be a pretty interesting and funny scene. Anybody walking by, me just leaning out of the car and just... Oh, I mean, there were people walking by. There's people everywhere. And so I don't drink Jaeger bombs anymore, thanks to that. So thank you, Miller, for ruining Jaeger bombs for me forever.
Thank you. Thank you. This week, we are covering... what game is it?
I believe it's IGN's number 37?
37 game?
37, right?
Past Midnight.
Past Midnight.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is
Hold on. Do you hear that?
I hear something.
Do you hear? I hear Nana's dogs barking.
Is Nana's dogs?
But I also hear
Nana's Muppet dogs.
A different choo choo.
I think that's not. That sounds a little like Trainsy, but I don't think it's Trainsy.
I think it's the Dave Reads from Wikipedia train.
Is the Dave Reads from Wikipedia train choo, rolling into the station? Okay. Okay.
Joe.
I think it's here.
Yeah,
okay,
it's here.
Good. All right. All right, guys. Past Midnight is a 1996 video game released by Herbieware for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. The game features a side-scrolling run-and-gun playstyle that pits American Special Forces versus supernatural enemies, created and or released by military officials in Nazi Germany. Past Midnight is the first in a series of games released by IW and was largely considered the least popular of the series. So the other two games in the series actually got a lot more attention than this did.
But you have to do the Japanese pronunciation.
Oh, yeah. Okay. The Japanese pronunciation is Koreba e Fuhita u Dona Jora Nesu.
Right?
Okay. I guess. I guess that's what it says. I don't read Japanese. We should call Shake and really get him to do this for us.
It's tonal. It's all a tonal language. Had you ever heard about this?
I had.
Had you ever? Because I hadn't played it before.
I had a neighbor who had this game when I was really young. I had gone over and played a little bit of it. I liked it, but it was really Nintendo hard. I didn't get very far into it. It was one of those things that I wished I could have been good at it at the time because I thought the story was pretty cool. Yeah. I thought the play style was pretty cool, but it just was super, super hard.
Yeah. I guess we probably should talk about the story a little bit. It's a multiplayer game.
Yeah, it is a two-player game.
Yeah.
You can play as
either Chris or Bastion.
Uh-huh.
Those guys are they're basically these special forces guys who you have to go through, and it's kind of like Mega Man, but the screen is set up. It looks like Street Fighter 2.
Right. There's like a map.
Yeah.
Right.
And you go to all of these various places, like it's Transylvania, London, New England, Egypt, Mexico and Tokyo. Those are the basic stages.
Right. And you can, it's just like in Mega Man where you choose like, you know, Bomberman or blah, 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 except it's the map. And then you can do those in no specific order. You just go to each country and finish that stage. And then after the stage, there's a main boss. But we'll get to, to sort of the...
And the idea that I got is that they're going to these places and shutting down these like Nazi run monster factories.
Right, right. Well, it sort of made me think of like, I mean, you've heard like an Indiana Jones and some of these other stories where it's like, okay, the Nazis are looking into supernatural cultish powers that they can use to win World War II.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, the story of them actually finding some of those things, building factories or some kind of apparatus to harness those powers, and then they want to use them. But these special force commando types are there to shut those down before they can release them on the world and on the, you know, the world stage of war.
Yeah, yeah. For an SNES game, I mean, we've played a lot of really shitty SNES games, and I know that generally this is and it's hard. It's really hard. You know, don't get me wrong, but I don't know. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed what I played of it.
Yeah.
I think that there's a lot of variety in the levels. And like who was your I guess we probably need to talk about who the bad guys are in each level. Do we want to go through each one and talk about it individually?
Yeah, I mean, we can just talk about each each stage. I mean, we sort of did an overview of where we're going to be at, but
sure.
I always like to start in New England because I felt like we're starting, but this is the American Special Forces, damn it.
Yeah.
We're going to protect the homeland first.
Yeah.
And that was also consequently sort of the easier level to get through. I mean, I thought there was a little bit less focus of the smaller things that you had to fight, and the boss was a little bit easier.
Right. But which is weird because so you go through and and it's basically like sea monsters. It's all creatures from the Black Lagoon that you're having to shoot as you're jumping through. And the part in the middle, whenever you get to the swamp and you keep getting stuck in the quicksand.
Yeah, you've got to kind of multi-jump to stay above it.
It's, yeah. But that was basically the hardest thing in the level. And if you're able to, you'd basically just hold down X to keep firing. And since you're holding down X, you can keep moving through.
Right. And since you mentioned firing, we should probably talk. There is, you know, like I said, it's a run and gun. So you do have a gun. You are shooting the monsters.
Yeah.
There are, I mean, I guess what you would call power-ups, because there are different weapons you can get throughout the game. There's the assault weapon, the shotgun. There's actually like a combat knife, but it does a lot more damage, but you got to get closer to actually use it. It's a lot like...
You always have the combat knife. If you tap L, you slash with the combat knife.
Right, right.
But you have to get so close that most of the time they're right up on you.
Yeah, your timing has to be pretty spot on just to get past them.
But it's generally one hit kill.
Right, right. So, you know, like you're right. I mean, that was the hardest part. And then the boss was, I think it wasn't easy. See, looking back when I played it when I was younger, it seemed so much harder. I mean, I guess I've played more games now and I'm more dexterous. I'm used to more buttons that I can actually jump and move with a little more, you know, sure-footedness, I guess. Yeah. But it, you know, beating the boss in this level really just amounted to timing and patterns.
Yeah, because we played this together and we died the first time through.
Yeah.
But after we were able to figure out, and because the boss of the level is Cthulhu.
Yeah, essentially.
They don't call it Cthulhu, but it's got
octopus face monster guy.
So and you can kind of like just see his head popping out of the water. It's his head and shoulders, and he keeps slapping at you with his tentacles, and you have to figure out, okay, I need to get on this platform so that I can avoid, and then this platform so that I can fire.
Right.
And as long as you're able to figure out that pattern.
Yeah, and fine. There's ways they could have made it a little more challenging too. If they, you know, if when the tentacle hits the platform and it had crumbled, like it would have caused you to sort of rearrange your strategy. But I mean, that really wasn't an issue. It was just basically jumping up, down, up, down, fire, up, down, fire.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that big. I thought it was kind of strange. I don't know, for a Japanese company, I mean, was HP Lovecraft? Because that's obviously That's what you think of when you see this. So I wonder if, like, how well they knew Lovecraftian lore.
Well, I think
when making this.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting, the stuff, because it's obvious that they did their research into a lot of different kinds of folklore. Because, I mean, we can go ahead and jump to the Mexico stage.
Yeah, because that was the only other one that was sort of more obscure.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess in what they were doing, the other areas were just like standard things that you would see in any mainstream pop culture kind of reference mm-hmm. to monsters.
And so in Mexico, it's done during what looks like a Dios de la Muerta festival. So
it's the
Day of the Dead, and you're fighting against ghosts that are floating up, and sometimes they can float up, you know, right under your feet, and that's so cheap, but you know.
Yeah, and I we didn't talk about it when we were talking a minute ago about New England, but this is one where I felt like the art style and the background was a little vaguely racist. Because, I mean, you've got these, like, the mariachi band in the background.
And the little Mexican children that keep running around and getting in your way.
Yeah, it looks like a Mexican market kind of thing you're running through. Yeah. I mean, it's like, I don't know. I don't know. I guess the Japanese area, I guess they can get away with that because the Japanese area sort of had the same kind of kabuki theater setting
in
the
background. Right. And I think that the thing that that makes it, I don't know, I guess a little bit more acceptable is that they're just going for these super big, vague interpretations of each culture, you know?
It's
you know, because all of the stuff in Egypt takes place, you know, at the pyramids and you know, all of course, but the fact that they're making a game that features, you know, like cultist Nazis in Germany, you know, as a Japanese company, they're not really being like that sensitive, I guess.
But. Yeah, I suppose that's true, but it just gets, you know, I guess in any kind of cultural reference, you're going to get that, but it made more sense. It made more sense. Like, the pyramids are a thing.
Sure.
You know, dirty Mexican markets and little children running around in sombreros.
Are you saying that's not a thing?
I mean, it probably is, but it just seems like... Yeah, it seems a little over the top for me. I don't know. Maybe I'm looking too much into it. I'm being a real Jacob. I'm being too sensitive about it.
He's not going to like that.
Oh, he stopped listening to this episode a long time ago.
Well, we haven't even talked about cum yet, though.
Oh, well, we're getting there. Don't worry. I mean, the ghosts.
What do you think the ghosts are made of?
The ghosts look like giant floating blobs
of cum.
Yeah. Goo ghosts.
But we were talking about the folklore, and this I had never heard of La Llorona.
La Llorona,
which is the boss of Mexico, we'll put a link to the Wikipedia page in the show notes. But you know, they obviously did a lot of research into it.
Yeah, I didn't know who the fuck this was. I mean, I had heard the story. I had no idea what La Llorona was.
Yeah, what the name was.
Right.
And her I actually thought that she was one of the tougher bosses because it feels like she's coming right at you.
Yeah.
Every time, and she's very hard to get out of the way of.
Right. And I mean, because you're the whole thing with without getting into the details, La Llorona was this woman who had drowned her children, and that was sort of the where it all comes from, is she walks the earth looking for her drowned children because she couldn't get into heaven. And this whole area, you're sort of on these platforms, and she's jumping out of the water and running straight at you.
Yeah.
That's underneath you. So she's jumping out, running at you, and you're having to,
if it were done on a modern console, like, it's really scary.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? Absolutely. And I think this one is a little more, there's not as many obvious patterns, the way she jumps out, stops, sort of screams, and there's stuff coming at you. And you, I mean, it's really more about patience than anything else.
Yeah, yeah. After that, I guess, we've already talked about Egypt, so I guess that we can go ahead and mention them. They're like, that sort of makes their mummies on the level, and they keep, it's kind of like, it's sort of like Scorpion, from Mortal Kombat.
Right, where he throws it out. And
yeah, exactly.
With their wrappings.
Yeah, and they if they get a hold of you, they'll pull you in, and you have to mash L and R to try and get out of it.
Yeah. Fairly easy to avoid they're not clumped up, so because if you kill one, then you can kill the next, as long as you stay back.
But if they get a hold of you, they'll take away half your health bar.
Right, right. Yeah, that's something we didn't mention. You kind of just ran past that, but you do have a health bar. It's got like, I didn't actually count them, like 10 bars, and you just gain them. Then you gain them back by collecting MREs, which are just like military food.
Yeah.
And that's how you get your health back. So, I mean, there is a, it's not like.
It's not a one-hit kill.
Right. It's not like Ghosts and Goblins where you have just a suit of armor and it's one, two, dead. Right.
Yeah. And then the boss on that level is Anubis, which I thought was really interesting because it's if you can get to Anubis, you're fine. But getting to Anubis is hard because he keeps raising zombies.
Yeah.
So zombies and mummies are coming out of the ground at you pretty consistently. So he's got this wall in front of him.
Right. He's got no major attack like the tentacles or things like that. It's just you've got to keep from getting killed by everything else. And once you know, if you can get a lull in the zombies and stuff that's coming at you,
and
you
get through
fire away, it's not that big a deal. But having to do that is a really, really hard thing to do.
Yeah.
I mean, especially if you have the shotgun, it's a little easier because the shotgun, it's a little closer up but does bigger damage, so you can kind of wave through them a little easier. But that made it a little bit easier. Still probably one of the hardest bosses in the game, I think.
Yeah.
Just because of that.
There's just so much. There's so much. And then I guess next, Japan, Tokyo, where this one was the one that made the least sense to me because all of these things are sort of, you know, like monsters from the past. And then you go to Tokyo and you're fighting dinosaurs.
Yeah.
You're just fighting dinosaurs.
I don't know where that came from. Yeah. I don't know if there's some kind of legend or lore in Japan where they were once overrun by mythical dinosaurs. But yeah, it's a little bit out of place, it seemed like.
Yeah, and the only reason that I can think of is because they wanted it to connect the boss of that level. They don't call him Godzilla, but it's obviously Godzilla. He's called King Lizard, and it's a huge... It's Godzilla.
Which, that brings up a good question. Like, when people reference Godzilla in Japan, I always assumed that, like, every time I hear that mentioned, it's in sort of... I'm going back to this, but sort of almost in a racist way. Like, remember in Arrested Development where they're all sitting around going, Godzilla! Godzilla! Yes. Like, it felt like that would be racist if an American company had made this game, but since a Japanese company made it and referenced Godzilla, that it's like, oh, well, they're just proud of their national heritage, I guess.
Well, I mean, Rampage, you know, which has basically a Godzilla. And I think, I mean, that was Midway, wasn't it?
I believe so.
So,
yes.
I don't know. But I think that, and part of it too is that I think that they wanted to give a monster that was recognizable to an American audience because since so much of this is geared toward sort of a Western audience, I think that, you know, if they had put like, you know, the girl from The Ring or something in it.
Yeah.
At this point, I mean, I don't know.
That's the thing is, like, we wouldn't even know where the hell to begin claiming what it would be for a Japanese audience because, you know.
Yeah.
Like, that just is another question for Shake.
Yeah.
Shake, if you know any, call in to Tadpog. Let us know what Herbieware should have done with this to make it a more legitimate and less Western-y racist version of Tokyo instead of having Godzilla stomping on shit.
He'll listen to this in a year and then he'll get back to us.
Okay, well.
So we've got two more levels left. The London. Two?
Which one am I forgetting? Oh, London, yeah.
London. Okay. So I thought London was so much fun because London was where the screen was moving beyond you and you had to keep up with it. It was sort of like a train level, but in a fun way.
Yeah.
It wasn't, because generally train levels are the worst, but this one you felt like you were able to keep up with it, and it wasn't really...
And because it was mostly, I mean, it wasn't like every other level has been pretty much straight away run with some platforms you can jump on. This, you're actually jumping building to building on the top. So
yeah,
you can pitfall and die. And with it pushing you all the time, trying to avoid the monsters and avoid the pits is pretty tough.
This one was the hardest level, but we figured out a way because we were fighting the Wolfman was sort of the main, there were a lot of Wolfmen.
Right. That was the standard boss the standard mob in the game.
But we were able to sort of figure out where, like, I would be able to jump first onto something, clear a path for you, then you would jump behind me, clear a path
just
for me.
Just doing hopscotch over and over again, yeah. It would be hard as shit, because, I mean,
single player.
Yeah, because I don't remember doing the single player when I was little. There's no damn way. I don't think I could do it now.
Yeah.
I mean, it would just, it's impossible.
This is definitely one of those games that you kind of have to play it with two players. If you were playing it on your own, it would be so frustrating.
I'm sure somebody can do it.
I'm sure there's some
bullshit YouTube speed run out there that we'll have to look it up. I'm sure there's something where somebody does this level and just some guy, and there's probably some secret we don't even know. You can just skip the whole damn thing, you know, with our luck. Because I mean, I really have no idea how a single person could get through that without doing what we did. I mean, it would be.
I didn't see anything about like a warp in the game facts.
No.
So it's possible that it's out there. It wasn't a very good game facts. It was just kind of like, just make sure you jump here and then you'll get to the bad guy and, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that goes to, you know, the Past Midnight, the second and third game in the series had more game facts because they were more popular. People actually played them. People actually spent the time making game facts and walkthroughs and things like that, whereas this one just kind of got glossed over.
Well, it came out so late. I mean, it's from 1996.
Yeah.
And at that point, most people had moved on.
Right.
Because it's, you know, it's just, it's, I don't know. I just feel I wouldn't want a single player.
No.
I'm sure that there are people out there that can do it. But
we didn't try going back and doing it.
No.
But somebody else can deal with that shit. Yeah. If you can get through that on single player, call in. Let us know about it.
But
I don't think you can do it.
We're calling you liars. David's calling you a liar.
Liar.
The boss of that level, because is Mr. Hyde, and you get to it, and he's a regular sized guy at the end, and he's fast. It's actually Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Right.
Dr. Jekyll is a lot faster. Mr. Hyde is obviously a lot stronger.
Right. And he starts out as Dr. Jekyll.
Yeah.
And after you do just so much damage to him, trying to catch him is the hard part.
Yeah. It's like Baxter Stockman in the TMNT arcade game. Because you do a certain amount of damage to him, and then he turns into the bug.
Right, yeah, and he just, all of a sudden, it kind of stops, and he just starts sucking down the stuff, and then, boom, he's three times the size, and he starts jumping around and swinging and stuff, and it's a lot easier to hit him at that point, but he does substantially more damage every time he hits you. Like, you really got to avoid him.
I think that, and I actually think that, I feel like I read somewhere that the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen movie got their interpretation from this.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Because it's so similar.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. That's an obscure thing to know. I wouldn't be surprised because I mean, there was a lot of shit in that movie that I wondered where they got, like, because, I mean, I read the book, Dr. Jekyll.
Yeah, like, and it's not.
Long time ago, and that's not really ever what I had assumed.
Yeah.
And I know there was a really old Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde movie, but I never actually saw it. So it just, the fact that he does sort of in this game
he's a lot more of a monster.
Yeah, like a legitimate monster.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's, wouldn't be surprised.
And then finally, Transylvania.
Transylvania.
I mean, if you don't know what monsters are in Transylvania, I don't even know what to do with you.
Guter monsters.
You're fighting Guter monsters.
Big, giant, spitting Guter monsters.
Yeah, and
spitting acid, boiling acid all over the place.
If it gets on you, it's really hard to get off of you. You're stuck there in one place. You keep hitting L and R, but you're not going anywhere.
Nope.
No, vampires. You go through the vampires, and obviously, the boss is Dracula, and whenever you fight Dracula, the thing that he does is that if he latches on to you, he can drain your health so that you know, even if you have him down, you have to kill him. You have to kill him immediately.
Yeah.
Because if he gets up and gets on you, then
yeah.
he'll just be up to half health again.
Yeah, that's the thing. Because in the boss fights, you don't get health back. I mean, you know, if you get hit in the regular part of the stage, it's like, okay, well, I'm going to find an MRE eventually.
Yeah, because they're not, you know.
So, it you know, the first time we, because it took us, what, 4 or 5 tries to do this?
Yeah.
Because I think the only reason by that last time we actually beat it is because we went in with full health.
Yeah.
Because if you go in with anything but full health, you're going to get hit, sucked dry, and
yeah,
that's it. So that's the if kids, if you try this game, make sure you go into the Dracula fight with full health because he will fuck you up.
Yeah.
Do you remember the vampires in West Kentucky?
Yes.
Do you remember that story?
Yes, I do.
That's anybody that doesn't live around here. Actually, that's an interesting story. There were actually vampires. People who
not
claim,
actual vampires.
Yeah, well, I'm getting to that. Yes, no.
I don't. Spoiler alert.
There were
they're
vampires.
Not actually vampires.
There were vampires, Tyler. I saw them. They were floating outside my window.
Let us come in, Dave.
I don't wanna. But no, there was this people who claimed to be a vampire cult. And they actually went and...
Did they live in Murray?
Yes, they lived in Murray. And they went to Florida and they fucking killed people.
We shouldn't be laughing about that.
No, it's not... No,
it's not funny.
It's not funny, but it's like...
It's weird.
You can't believe that there were actually vampires...
Yeah.
...who thought they were vampires in Murray, Kentucky that went and actually fucking killed people. They weren't just like... The vampire kids off of South Park.
Yeah.
These were people...
They're not goth.
What's funny is I once heard a story that this guy's name was Rod. And they called him...
Okay.
They called him at the high school Rod the God. And he would walk to school every morning. And when the school bus would pass by him on the way to the school, people would throw shit out the window at him. And you wonder... How this guy went crazy and started fucking killing people.
There's a bullying PSA in here somewhere.
There's really, like,
don't fuck with Rod the God.
He will kill people.
He'll kill someone else. Not
he'll
you.
Kill someone.
He'll kill someone else.
Yeah, it's I don't know, man. But the vampire made me think of that because then there was the vampire hotel out. You know, we called it. There was like their secret meeting place.
Yeah.
So yeah, big fans of Vampire the Masquerade.
Huge. And there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of like Vampire the Masquerade connections in here just by virtue of them, like, you know, the werewolves and the vampires and yada yada.
Yeah, if you like that game, Rod the God would love this game. He would love this. I'm pretty sure he's still on death row in Florida. We should send him a copy of the game.
We should send, yeah. Yes, he'll love it. Do you have an SNES, Rod the God? One thing that I thought was really interesting were the artifacts.
Yes. Yeah, we haven't even talked about that.
We haven't even talked
about
that.
That's a whole nother sort of layer of the game.
Yeah. So there are 5 red floating artifacts throughout the level. And if you're able to collect all the 5 artifacts, you get before you get to the boss battle. And there were some times when I was really irritated because I would have 4 artifacts and would have missed an artifact somewhere along the way and then gotten to the boss battle and then we just have to restart.
Yeah.
And
they're not super, super hidden, but some of them are
like under a platform and you don't really notice.
Or really like you have to sort of jump
just
to even see it and then you realize you can get up there. So yeah, I mean, they're not super hard to find, but yeah, it does because you don't want to get through the game not collecting all the artifacts. That's such a cool little neat part.
Yeah. So you collect all the artifacts, and before you fight the final boss of the level, you will get to fight a mini-boss. And it's all, like, cryptozoology, like, mythology stuff. In Transylvania, you fight the Yeti.
Yeah.
In London, you fight the Loch Ness Monster, which was really interesting because it was basically just Nessie slamming her head into the ground over and over again.
Well, yeah, it just kind of jumps up out of nowhere, like, yeah. Oh. Where did you come from?
In New England, you fight the Mothman, which was my favorite fight of the entire
game. Yeah, I think that is probably one of the more... I guess there probably are Mothman stories in other cultures.
Yeah.
But I thought that's one of the, like, you know, a vampire is not obscure at all.
Yeah.
Wolfman is not. Mothman
is a little bit more...
If it hadn't been for that shitty Richard Gere movie, I would have no idea who the Mothman was anyway.
Yeah. Sphinx in Egypt.
Sphincter?
The chupacabra.
A giant sphincter monster.
It's just a butt. It's just a butt.
This game was made for us.
That you fight a butt. In Mexico, you fight the chupacabra. And then in Tokyo, you fight the Oni, which I thought was interesting. I actually would have liked it if the rest of the level was about Oni.
Right, which is like the Japanese sort of demon standard. What we would think of as like a red devil kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's a demon.
And if you get through all of these before the final level, you will have... an option will open, and it's in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, and it's just a question mark. And you go to that, and you get to fight Cerberus.
Right. It's no level. It's just a boss fight. I thought, of course, most of those, the secret bosses weren't particularly hard. I mean, they didn't have a lot of special moves or anything. They were just, they hit a little harder, moved a little faster, but it wasn't like... You didn't have to have a super strategy like you did in the actual boss fights. I mean, it was just a little bit tougher than a normal, you know, mob in the game.
Yeah, yeah. And if you defeat Cerberus, you get a spear.
The Spear of Destiny.
And it replaces your combat knife. So you get to hit a little bit further out. And it still does a lot of damage.
Yeah, it does a lot. It's still, you can't close the gap very effectively in the final fight. Like, it would have been great in the earlier levels.
Yes.
Yeah, it would have been fine when you're fighting off the regular mobs, but it's like,
at the final fight,
it's hard to close the gap and get in close, even though it does give you a little extra range. It's hard to get that close to the final boss. So it's... I don't want to say it's pointless. It may help out in a pinch.
Well, and it's the journey.
Yeah, getting it's a little something really fun extra to do. But yeah, it would be nice if the reward was like a mini nuke from Fallout or some shit that you could. Yeah, that would be okay.
Everyone just dies.
Yeah.
And then on the final level, you
finally made it.
Yeah, you go through. You're going through Germany, and you're fighting what look like cyborg Frankenstein. Yeah. Monsters.
That's probably the best way to describe it, although I don't find that very accurate either. I mean, it's such an odd little thing. It's just metallic, red-eyed, robot-y.
And green, and their head is in a weird place, and their arms look, I mean, they're out, but they're grasping. I don't know.
And I guess this stage, this is where you actually, you had talked about factories. The sort of art setting in here is you look like you're in a factory.
It is a factory,
So you're actually going through a factory. So you can assume that we kind of extrapolated that there was factories all over the place. So I think this is where that starts to make more sense.
Yeah, yeah. And whenever you get through all of them, you get to fight the final boss, who is, of course, mad scientist Hitler in a mecha suit, which is
really pushing the envelope on a game, too. Yeah, I mean, that's...
But I mean, you know, and I think that the only reason that, like, this is okay is because of Wolfenstein 3D. If it wasn't for Wolfenstein 3D, there's no way that anyone could get away with making you fight, essentially, another mecha Hitler.
Right. Because, I mean, you know, nowadays, if you see a game like Call of Duty and this kind of shit where you're fighting Nazis, nobody bats an eye. But this was almost 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And that kind of shit just wasn't happening, or at least not very often. Like Wolfenstein and some of these others, where you're fighting the devil, like in,
Doom?
Doom, yeah. I want to say Duke Nukem for some reason. Doom. So, you know.
And especially for, like, a platformer on the SNES. You know, like, this isn't a computer game. This is through Nintendo. So, and I know that, you know, they made Bionic Commando change because in the original Bionic Commando, he fights a mecha Hitler.
Yeah.
And they made them change all of the iconography throughout. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I thought that was really impressive and really gutsy. But the thing is, he's not super hard to beat.
No. I mean, it was sort of anticlimactic.
Yeah.
I still think that probably...
Getting to him is really hard.
Yeah, because the regular monsters, the Frankenstein, RoboCop looking guys are much harder to kill than the regular monsters. It takes several shots, which I guess that's probably where the spear might come in a little more handy. I mean, I think with two of us, it made it a lot easier. This is another one where playing with one person had to have been tough as shit.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Yeah, if they had made Anubis, if that mechanic had been the final boss, it would have made a lot more sense.
Yeah.
Because that would have been legitimately tough. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's the game. And at the end, you've saved the world, essentially.
Yeah. And
for now.
What was your favorite weapon in the game?
The shotgun was my favorite, just because I think it was, when you get around to it, the most powerful and easy to use. It had a shorter range.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the crossbow with sort of the little explosive crossbow.
Yeah.
It was a little slower. It did more damage, but I think the shotgun was probably like the middle of the road, did enough damage, had enough range that it was most effective in the most scenarios. There were some times where it wasn't, like during the fight where you're having to avoid all the mummies and stuff and the zombies, you need a little range.
Yeah.
So rushing over, getting close up, using the shotgun, the running away just did not, that wouldn't have worked there.
It's a good idea generally to have two different types of weapons. Like since you had the shotgun for most of it, I held on to the assault rifle for most of the time.
Right.
Because I liked, number one, the assault rifle's automatic and the other weapons you have to trigger to fire.
Just, you can just hold the A button and jump with B and never even let go of it.
And what I tried to do is I just tried to like provide cover for you as much as possible so that, because there's no friendly fire. But
can you imagine that?
Oh my God.
Can you imagine if there was friendly fire? It would be a nightmare. Yeah.
Especially if you have the assault rifle.
Yeah.
Because you just
think about how hard this game is and how hard they could have made it.
Yeah.
I mean, it could have been a
so much
way
worse.
Harder game.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that it's bad, but I'm saying it is extremely hard and frustrating. The fact that you didn't rage quit several times.
Oh, I wanted to.
I mean,
but I knew we had to get it done. So I just kept
You've
on.
Got dedication to Tadpog, Tyler. I mean, you really believe in this show. So
I feel rewarded.
I don't know why you didn't feel that kind of drive to do the best for the show for, you know, Pilot Wings, for example. But
this was a lot more fun than Pilot Wings was.
Yeah.
I feel like we both know that.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. But
Do you think that this game deserves to be on the list?
Absolutely.
Higher or lower? Because if
it was substantially, well, if it was in the 50s, if it was in the 50s or above into the 60s or 70s, I would be disappointed because I think it deserves to be higher than that. If it got any lower than like 20, I would also be disappointed. Like, I think it belongs on the list.
Is it weird to say that it's in the perfect spot?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it probably is. I mean, I think it's hard to say that because there's still a couple of games we are not super familiar with in the rest of the list. So we might eat our words saying that. So I wouldn't have a problem with being a little higher. It definitely belongs in the top 50.
Yeah.
That's without question. It can easily say that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I've got some achievements.
Throw them at me.
Okay. Number one is...
I didn't even think of any achievements. Shit.
Okay.
Okay. Go ahead. I'll think of some.
I've got a couple.
You're doing yours. Okay.
First is Universal Monsters. And that you get that when you beat Transylvania, New England, London, and Egypt, because then you will have beaten Vampire, Wolfman, Creature from the Black Lagoon, and Mummy.
Okay. Okay. I like that. I like that.
Werewolf Bar Mitzvah. is if you single player the London level. If you single player the London level with Bastion, who is obviously Jewish.
Right.
Who is obviously Jewish.
I mean, he is the one wearing purple. Does that have a...
Yeah.
Is that why you feel like... I don't know what purple in Judaism have to have, but distinguishing feature between him and Chris.
Yeah.
So do you know something that I don't about purple in Judaism?
I'm not an expert on Judaism. We should ask Jacob.
We should ask Jacob.
He knows all about it.
He knows everything about it.
It's only negative things, but he knows all about it.
Yeah, that's true.
And Dave Grohl's beard, which you get if you
Wait a minute, you're not doing beards and glasses, are
you? No.
Oh, these are achievements.
Dave Grohl's beard is the achievement, which you get, continuity.
Yeah.
Which you get from defeating Cerberus and winning the Spear of Destiny, which is, of course, I'll call it Dave Grohl's dog, because as opposed to the Pick of Destiny, it's the Spear of Destiny, and it's Satan's dog.
Oh, I see Cerberus. What you did there.
Yeah.
I had no fucking clue where you were going with that there for a second.
You followed me.
Well, you sent me through the pick. Okay.
What do you have?
I don't know, man. Shit. Okay, dabbling in pacifism.
Okay.
Dabbling in pacifism, not in Nom, of course.
Okay.
This is where you make it to every boss without actually killing any of the monsters leading up to it.
Oh, yeah.
It can be done.
Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't wish it upon my worst enemy, but it can be done.
You can, it's probably the easiest to do that on the New England level, because they're all so low.
Yeah.
And if you can get through the quicksand level, then you could probably do it.
Yeah. But yeah, it would be easier to do it there, but I don't know how, like in London, it would be damn near impossible. Yeah. I mean, you can't do London on single player while killing things.
Yeah.
Don't know how the hell you would get through it by not killing things, but Tadpog Nation, there's your challenge.
Go out there.
Lots of Tadpog points if you can verifiably do that. Get through every level without killing the regular monsters. And the other would be, is my boomstick.
Okay.
Which would be finishing every shotgun level and the game using only a shotgun.
Nice.
Yeah, you like that?
Oh, yeah, I like that.
I like that. Good. Hmm. Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
We've had a pretty good time recording this episode today.
Yes.
I don't know how the fans are going to feel about it. This may not be our best episode ever. I mean, it's...
But it's not our worst.
It's probably not our worst, no. There have been many, many worst episodes.
We should have had some guest hosts.
Yeah, guest hosts would have helped quite a bit.
More cum talk.
Yeah, more cum talk, more Gooter references, more church basement. Any number of those things probably would have picked up the spirit of this show. But you know what?
You're just lucky that I've done this show without pants on, but you can't hear that. You can't hear that.
Well, you can't hear the fact that you're not wearing pants. You can't hear a lot of things on the... Oh, you can hear that. I need an adult.
Yes, Dave.
If you were forced, and nobody's forcing you, but...
if I was.
If you was forced, if you were forced...
Thank you.
As I fell into
your New Orleansian upbringing.
Yeah. If you were to assign this game a beard, what kind of beard might that be?
I would give it, because you're dealing with the occult, and you're dealing with mad scientists and doctors, I would give it, a black goatee with white stripes on either side. I would give it, like a Doctor Strange mad scientist goatee.
Now, are the white stripes in the shape of like a lightning bolt?
Like a lightning bolt, yes.
Yeah, okay. Yes. I'm with you. I got that.
So it's a good beard to have. It's an impressive beard to have, but it probably requires a lot of upkeep. And
it clearly denotes that you're evil.
Yes, yes.
And clearly.
Unless you're Doctor Strange, which in that case, that's the one case where it's good.
Yeah.
But that's it.
Now, if you... And nobody's holding a gun to your head to make you do this. But if you were to give this game a pair of glasses, what would they be?
I would give this... they're not glasses, but in a strict sense. But do you know in Lord of the Rings, when you're walking through the marsh, and all of the dead... elves are underneath the water looking up at Frodo. I give it that water over your eyes.
Okay. Okay. Well, anyway, I mean, that makes perfect sense to me. I don't really think we need explanation on that. That's a perfect pair of death water glasses.
Exactly.
So I think we should, probably take some calls. How about that? Tyler, some people called us.
Oh, okay.
So we should check those out.
Let's hear from them.
Hey, Tadpog. It's Jacob, a wolf-hiding fame.
Oh.
I was thinking today, there's a lot of talk in the gaming community recently about the Steam controller. I know you two are big Steam players on that platform, trading the cards and in making the big money. Mm-hmm. What do you think? Are you going to pick one up? Do you know anything about it? Later.
I don't, you know, it's, so the Steam controller, for those that don't know, it's going to be released, and I guess in theory you would use it with the Steam Box, but you could probably use it, you can use it with anything.
Right.
They've got analog, instead of analog, it's touchpads.
Right.
I don't, you know, I'm fine with using my PS3 controller.
Yeah, I feel like they're trying to do too much. I mean, it just doesn't make...
I appreciate that it's happening.
Yeah, it's like they're trying to do something that... They're trying to fix a problem that's not broken. You know, they're trying to fix something that's not broken at all. Why do you really need a whole different controller for games, most of which can be played using any other controller?
Yeah.
Why do I need to spend money on something like that? It just... I'm sure there are probably features to it that are specific, but that being said, nothing about it really speaks to me.
Yeah. And we'll see what happens. I don't know. Maybe things will happen.
I say that I will end up with one, I'm sure, before it's all said and done.
Me too.
But at this juncture, until I know more about it, until I can actually hold one in my hand and be like, oh, that's pretty awesome, I don't really feel, you know, that positive about it.
Yeah. But thank you for calling in, Jacob. It's always a pleasure to hear your voice.
I'm glad to hear from Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
Just glad he's not, you know, calling in to deny the Holocaust some more.
Not anymore. Not after we had that off-air talk with him.
That was getting uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
I thought his girlfriend was Jewish, but... Or maybe she is, and she just also denies the Holocaust.
Well, I mean, if she's okay with him, he's okay with her. I guess it really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I have, you know, whatever. You know, to each his own. And people can believe what they want to believe, but you know, keep it to yourself, Jacob. I mean, come on, man.
Yeah.
Jeez.
It's pretty gross. It's a problem.
Well, you know, I'd really like to hear his thoughts on the JFK assassination.
Oh, don't get him started.
I mean, it's there
because
are people...
that's all the Jews' fault too.
Yeah. Oh, Jacob,
he's I can't get over yourself.
Yeah,
he's always talking about, oh, I'm so fucking hot, and all the Jews ruined everything.
I don't know how he thinks he's going to make it in the entertainment system hating on Jews all the time.
Doesn't make any sense.
I mean, he does realize where his career path is wanting to go.
Yeah.
And he's going to be talking about denying the Holocaust.
The last two girls he dated are Jewish. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah, the last two girls. Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did he know?
You would think that he loves Jews.
Well, I mean...
He loves to have sex with them, at least.
Well, I mean, you know what they say about those Jewish girls.
What?
I don't know. I thought you knew.
Next call.
Buenos noches, assholes. It's Miller. I've just sitting around wondering what you fuckers are doing, and I thought I'd come in and ask a question. So, why do you nerds like the games that you like? There's a fucking question. All right, see ya.
He was drunk.
He was definitely
I'm worried
drunk.
About him.
He needs to lay off the Jaeger bombs. And
there's a lot of stuff that he needs to lay off of. He needs to get his shit together. He needs to stop appearing on this show if he wants to ever have a future in politics.
No kidding. Yeah, that's a fair point.
Yeah.
That's a fair point. Why do I like the kinds of games I like? I don't know. Because they're good.
Because I think mine's probably because I grew up with trying to find my own identity through that because my father and my mother were very different from me and my younger brother gravitated very much toward my father and I was trying to figure out sort of who I was and through sort of subsuming myself in all of these different characters I was able to sort of find my own path and figure out who I was so I think that at a certain
level... So, I mean, you really felt like you were that kid in Earthbound.
Yeah.
Everything around you was very alien to the way you felt about life.
I was Ness. I was Chrono. Yes.
Yes.
Exactly. So, I don't know. It's... I mean...
It's okay, man.
I don't know.
It's all right, you know?
Yeah, but it's...
We're a family here at Tag Talk.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
No, so, I don't know. But I just, you know, I love video games. I love video games.
Good, man. Well, you know, I mean, I gravitate to games that are challenging and that I can get something out of. I like feeling the achievement of actually going through a game and finishing it and being challenged. But at the same time, I don't like video games that are stressful.
Yeah.
I mean, I like to play video games that let me unwind. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because I work a lot. And when I come home, I want to be able to just sit down.
Just
play a game and not have to think about it. Yeah. So I generally don't like games as much that are just super, super frustrating.
Yeah, yeah. Anymore.
Yeah, anymore.
Is that it? Are those all the calls?
I think that's all the calls.
Okay. All right. Okay. We've got people to thank.
All right, good.
Okay. For Facebook shares, we'd like to thank Baroness Nicole, Marques Cute Butt, Archivist Corn, and Micah Perdue.
Who?
Micah Perdue.
Oh.
Okay,
Micah. Okay.
And for retweets, I'd like to thank Jacob, Nicole, and Sandra Shipbits.
Shipbits.
Yeah. Dip, flip switch. Sandra Nick Scheist. Ipswich.
Ipswich.
Sandra Ipswich. What's that from? What is that from?
I can't think.
No, it's from The Blob. Is that... I don't know. I feel it's from, like, the something.
The...
I'm sure Nicole is screaming at us now.
Are you talking about the... Ipswich?
Ipkiss.
Oh, Ipkiss.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Oh, well.
Anyway. And that's it. That's all of them. No, they are not trying very hard to keep the gun out of your mouth.
They're not trying that hard, and... Yep. That's a losing battle, so...
Our Suicide folks, Watch.
Please, yeah. definitely keep an eye out for your bespectacled host on Our Suicide Watch. Yeah.
The morning news. All right, okay. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find the show on iTunes or Stitcher, so you don't miss the next episode. We will be talking about... This was...
37th? Yeah.
Okay, so... This was the 37th game, and we'll be... Hold on. Let me look.
There's a calculator on my phone.
Okay. So we will be doing the 36th...
I'm pretty sure it's 24. We're going to have to run the numbers.
Okay. The 36th ranked
game... We're going to be doing another game next week.
NBA just so you Jam. Know. That's... Yes.
Okay.
I feel confident in that.
Yes.
While you're there, don't forget to subscribe. Give the show a 5-star rating. Write a review. And if you write a review, maybe tell us about a game that you would like us to cover. We'll get to it eventually.
Yeah, we like the 5-star reviews, but we like to come by them honestly.
Yeah.
We don't want you giving random 5-star reviews. We want, if you really enjoy the show, to tell us about it with a 5-star review. Yeah. If you don't, that's okay.
We're not going to send you anything.
No.
Maybe we'll send you something.
There's always a possibility.
In exchange for that.
Right.
And maybe we'll... But we promise we will eventually get to it.
Right.
If we do send you something.
Yeah.
We will eventually send you something.
Yes, eventually. You know, there's books, there's coins, there's you know,
somewhat.
Some of Tyler's cooking, maybe some nice cupcakes.
I will absolutely. If you leave a 5-star review, maybe I will cook you a cupcake. I'd be happy to do that. Or just come on down to my house and I'll be happy to prepare a meal for you anytime. Don't even worry about it.
Absolutely. And leave a 5-star review. Maybe I'll give away, you know, 20
kisses.
Hours worth of graphics work.
Oh.
You know, I mean, I can maybe do some graphic art for people.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got lots of time to kill. So if you're looking for something done, just let me know, man.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. 20 hours. We'll start at 20 hours. Maybe somebody can hook us up with more 5-star reviews. That number might go up.
We'll see what happens.
You know. So don't worry, guys. We'll be back next week. But if you can't wait for more Tadpog, you can leave us feedback on tadpog.com and find us on Facebook at facebook.com/tadpog. Our intro song is
Moves
by a little band called
Sycamore Drive.
A link to the track can be found in the show notes on tadpog.com. You can also tweet us at tadpog_podcast. Or if you got a question, you want to make a suggestion, give us a call on the Tadpog hotline, 270-883-2555.
I'm going to find the guy who has Tadpog at Tadpog, and I'm going to rough him up.
Yes, because you are a tough son of a bitch, Tyler.
Yeah.
You're a bad man.
I'm doing CrossFit, so.
Hey, that's good. I guess. I don't know. That helps CrossFit.
All right.
I don't know, man. I sit at a computer 40 hours. Well, 80 hours a week.
Hey, you look great.
Okay, guys. Until next time,
Tropical Capricorn. Do you want to go suck each other off now?